Let's move on now into our Compass Radio segment each month. Few of us are equipped to understand the challenges of mental illness, and that's why we hear the voices of people working on their mental health in our monthly segment, Compass Radio. It's co-produced by Compass House in Medford, a center that functions on the clubhouse model of mental health care.
To me, it'll, you know, change my whole world. It'll be an income, and it'll just be great.
It feels good. It's really stressful trying to remember. I do freight, so there's 50,000 or more items in the store, and to do freight, you have to be able to know where things go and to do them quickly. So it's kind of been a surreal experience, almost out of body sometimes.
My confidence level has been improving greatly. I had some basic, you know, good self-esteem, but my self-image has increased, and just feeling like I'm really competent, I can really do this.
In recent Compass House segments, we've heard from members who are struggling to get employment, a process that involves overcoming serious obstacles like mental illness and homelessness. This month, we'll hear from three people who are farther along. Sheila and Bill are both recently employed. Jenny is close to landing a job. All three of them are finding that with work comes confidence.
Right now, I'm like at the lowest of the low. It's like there's no job, there's no income. It's hard to piece together bills. So I come to Compass House as a positive place to go, to get skills, to learn things, to do things positive, and to be on a team where it's just a positive outlook. And so to get this job will mean so much to me. It'll, you know, change my whole world. It'll be an income, and it'll just be great.
I have more confidence that, you know, if this job, if they let me go, that I'll be able to go out and look for work on my own, that I'll be able to deal with the stress. And that's a big, big thing for me, because before that, it kept me in my truck for 8 years.
My confidence level has been improving greatly. I had some basic, you know, good self-esteem, but my self-image has increased, and just feeling like I'm really competent, I can really do this.
So anyone starting a new job experiences some stress, perhaps some self-doubt, and certainly a desire for success. Compass House member Sheila found out that this is normal, and for Bill, having an insightful boss certainly helped.
Oh, I experienced tremendous stress initially. You know, am I good enough? Am I going to be able to keep this job? Am my employer going to be happy with my work or not? So those were insecurities, and it's been explained to me this is very common to have insecurities. It's new, it's different. You want to please people, your employer, your boss, and so on.
I think it was through my brother-in-law. They happened to know the owners of the store, and he knew I was having a hard time just making that initial step of looking for work and putting myself out there. So I had to go and do an interview with the owner. It was like my past came back to haunt me. I have a tendency to, when things get really stressful, I disappear. And he knew about that. So he made me promise that I would hang in there and commit to being there till September. So I said, okay, and I've done it so far.
The confidence of having a job brings with it some new perspectives. For example, these Compass House members can now start thinking about the future differently. What comes next? Where will this job lead? Here again are Sheila, Bill, and Jenny.
I'm going through ongoing trainings through the county, and they provide great opportunities to further one's career and be better at their job. And through Compass House, I've been doing various trainings, and all of these work together to make me a better peer support specialist. I would say that working for Jackson County Mental Health is a dream job, and so I see myself long-term. I know that there are many positions out there for peer support specialists, but I feel like I'm in my right place at this point, indefinitely.
I need more hours. I'm working part-time right now, so ultimately I'm going to need to look for more work to fill in the hours that I'm not getting, because I won't be able to afford a place if I don't work full-time.
I'm getting opportunities through Compass House. The other day I came in and they were talking to me about a RCC class for peer support specialist training. And somebody told me to fill out a form for it because I told her I do not have money to go to any classes. Can't afford it. But the funding was approved when I came to Compass House today. So I will be able to get training, and the class is a month long, and I'm so excited because I can be able to work with people, help people out. Being a peer support specialist is like, I want to help and speak out on mental illness. I have a background of mental illness, and I know a lot of people with mental illness, so it's like, if I can get my foot in the door to help people and for a different kind of outlook in my life, it's like, it'd be really awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
That's the voice of Jenny. Before that, you heard Bill, and before that, Sheila. They are all members of Compass House in Medford, working on the clubhouse model of mental health. And this is our Compass Radio segment once a month with the folks from Compass House. We have Elizabeth Hazelwood, the executive director, in the studio with me. Good to see you again, Elizabeth.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Chris Folden is the Compass House employment coordinator. Chris, good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
You can join the discussion on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So we got some hints there from the comments of Sheila, Bill, and Jenny. What kinds of things do you do to guide them along, and how much do you guide them and help them, and how much do you kind of stand back and let them do things for themselves?
Well, really, the beautiful thing about the clubhouse model is the whole model was built on recovery through meaningful and purposeful work, and just showing people, you know, that they do have skills and talents, and not just sitting there and talking at them, but listening to them and trying to work with them side by side to find out what those skills and talents are. And most of the times, a lot of the skills that they have, they've kind of buried away, like they're afraid to speak out and say it, like as if they're no good anymore. And that's not the case at all. Like, you come to find out, you know, that they've had years of experience doing this thing or that, and it's really amazing once you start getting them to, you know, build that confidence and go out there and get it.
Does that reluctance to talk about their skills, is it even more pronounced in this age when the skills that society seems to need seems to change so fast?
Yes, absolutely. I have to say that's one of the things that's the most scary, especially if you've been out of the workforce for, you know, 10 or 12 years, trying to get back in a world that is vastly, vastly different and very computer-based can be terrifying.
What are the normal circumstances then for somebody who, I mean, what kind of tracks are people on? Is there like a typical story for somebody who comes through Compass House and ends up getting a job?
No, and that's the beautiful thing, is that everyone is an individual, so everybody's track looks different. We really work on making people find things that they want to do that fits them best. With Sheila, for example, she came in and she had really, really been doing a lot of kind of different things, but it turned out at the core of it, she really, really wanted to learn to help people, and she had the skills and abilities. So when she completed peer specialist training, it just seemed like the perfect fit, and she was picked right up from, you know, Jackson County Mental Health, and that was really where she wanted to be. And when we can find people those jobs where they want to stay long term, that is the perfect fit. And if people aren't sure where they want to be, then test the waters out, see what you like, give it a shot.
Tell us more about peer specialist training.
Peer support specialist training is, well, it's just that it's a peer-based training. So what it is people who have went through and have that lived experience in these situations, whether it's addictions, mental health, they have been through all the steps to find, you know, good health and recovery. And their whole job is to share their strength, hope, and recovery with other people and show them that it is possible and help them, guide them through the labyrinth of, you know, healthcare and trying to get them the access to resources that they need.
So when they're working with a person, they can say, and not just, I know how you feel, but honestly, I have been there. I've done it myself, been through this process.
Right. Yes. It's super important. And it's something that a lot of people, you know, they struggle with because, well, you don't understand. Well, now there's somebody who does understand and somebody that can help guide them through.
And so you mentioned Jackson County Mental Health hires peer support specialists. And who else makes use of that job title?
A lot of agencies, especially mental health-focused agencies. The VA uses them, Options. Care Oregon also uses them, as well as Columbia Care. Several other agencies have slightly different focuses, but it's a really, really big trend because people see the value of it.
So let's talk about just the issue of trying to find employment for people who have history with mental illness. I can imagine this is not something anybody wants to admit up front, and I can imagine that for some employers it would be a scary thing, sort of akin to having a criminal record, perhaps. Is that a fair assessment, Chris?
I would say it's a fair assessment. A lot of people, you know, do stigmatize a lot of people with mental illness, and don't realize that one in four people have a diagnosed mental illness. It's much more common than people, you know, tend to realize. And everybody has skills and talents, and it's just finding exactly where the best fit is for them.
It seems like at this point, when we start talking about those numbers, one in four people diagnosed with mental illness, so everybody knows somebody more than likely who has had a diagnosed mental illness, that the stigma would be lessening over time. Is that slowly becoming the case, Elizabeth Hazelwood?
It's an ongoing fight. Breaking the stigma around mental health is a huge, huge challenge. And it's something that several different fronts you have to take on. You know, the media doesn't help the situation. Oftentimes, just shows and TV in general paint people with mental health issues in a very, very negative light. And the reality is that's not the case.
And so there are some protections for people who have dealt with mental illness in the employment process. Can you tell us what kinds of things employers can and cannot ask, for example, Chris?
Actually, I'm going to hand this one over to Elizabeth. This is...
Okay. So it is actually a medical condition, and that is one of the things that is protected. You can't ask directly about it.
Any more than you're going to ask about, you know, whether you ever had this disease, that disease.
Absolutely.
Broke this leg, that leg, whatever.
Yes. We talk through the situations and when it is appropriate to disclose those in interview settings. And a lot of times it's personal preference and also who the employer is and how they feel about it and how the individual feels about it. Some people feel like it's important to go ahead and disclose that right away. And other people feel like it's their medical privacy. They don't want to share it. And both are acceptable.
And there are some protections, as I understand, mm-hmm. that under the Americans with Disabilities Act for people who've had mental illness in terms of accommodations in the workplace. I mean, what kinds of accommodations and how tricky a move is that to request accommodations while you're trying not to get too upfront about mental illness?
Accommodations is something that's always challenging, regardless of what the diagnosis is to ask for, whether it's physical or mental health. It is one of those things where you can ask and then you have to weigh whether or not you feel like that will lessen your chances of getting hired. And it's scary to figure that out.
And so let's talk again, Chris, if we would, about the numbers of people total at Compass House and how many of them are looking for work or using employment services in some way or the other there.
Well, yes. NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, actually has a very staggering statistic. I don't remember the exact precise amount, but I know it's close to up to 80% of people with mental illness want to find employment. And that is really quite staggering. We actually have an average daily attendance of 32 people, and right now we have 30 members working. And that's a really, you know, true testament to the power of the clubhouse and the clubhouse model. And it's an evidence-based model, and it works. Recovery through work has, you know, built the confidence of so many people and has gotten people back out there in jobs and out of homelessness.
This hits me like a head slap, though, to think about essentially what you've got going on at Compass House is the peer support specialist program, just spread across everybody. Everybody is a peer in this sense.
Well, everybody has these lived shared experiences, and it is something that people do tend to think, you know, it's something, hey, I can do. I can share my, you know, strengths, hope, and experience with other people. So it is a class that RCC offers, and it is something that, you know, we encourage people to at least explore if that's what they, you know, decide that they'd want to do to be able to help people, because you learn so much about yourself through that class as well. and to be able to just help people, it helps build their confidence so that, you know, hey, I was able to, you know, get through this course and I've been able to help, you know, this number of people. So it's not something that we offer specifically through Compass House. We do have some grants that we help try to fund some education with, but it is a very, very good program.
As we talk about employment for the people at Compass House, it gets me to wondering about the two of you and what your own motivations were for getting into this line of work. Elizabeth Hazelwood?
For me, it comes from a lifetime of family members that have a severe and persistent mental illness. I have a father and two brothers with diagnosis, and it was something that I really wanted to be a part of. And then as I started getting involved in the mental health field, I realized that it was so focused on what people can't do. So I stepped away for a while and then stumbled across the Clubhouse model in Florida when the first one was opening, and it changed my life as well. I can't imagine ever doing anything else. It's so focused on what people can do and what people can become. And it's a community where people are there because it's built on respect and dignity and choice.
And Chris, what about for you? What appealed to you about working in this field?
Well, this is something that I've actually kind of dealt with myself as far as mental illness. I'm a disabled veteran, and in my path of trying to, you know, find exactly where I kind of fit back into society, you know, coming out of the military, I tried a bunch of jobs that just did not really seem to fit right. And when I seen the magic of how Compass House was helping people, it was something that I really wanted to be a part of.
So for folks who want to know more about Compass House and perhaps are interested in helping in some way, Elizabeth Hazelwood, what do you recommend?
Come down and take a tour. We are available to do tours between 8 and 5, Monday through Friday. And that's really the best way to see it, is come see us in action, because that's when you really understand what it's about.
And where is Compass House located?
332 West 6th Street. It's right next to the Federal Courthouse Building and 6th and Ivy.
And Medford. Okay, that is Compass House, which is based on the Clubhouse model of mental health care. Thank you once again, Elizabeth Hazelwood, Executive Director, for joining us. Chris Folden, Compass House Employment Coordinator. Good to see you.